Our first reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they will propose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth and left off building the city. And they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them all over the face of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are all filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show the wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The good news according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John 3, verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In my early 20s, I graduated from college and I moved to Seattle to start a job at KPLZ Radio, selling and writing advertising. That was a difficult transition in my life for a lot of reasons, but God used my struggles to lead me back to church. When a friend and co-worker invited me to go to church with her, I accepted the invitation. She went to a Pentecostal, a charismatic church that I ended up attending for about 6 months. Their worship services always included a time when people would speak in tongues, usually everyone speaking in tongues at the same time. I'd never seen or heard anything like it in my life. Their understanding was that everyone is endowed by the Holy Spirit with a prayer language, which is unintelligible to the speaker and to those who hear it, unless the Holy Spirit has given another person the gift of interpretation. I enjoyed getting to know some of the good people of this congregation and frankly admired their willingness to be different. But after a lot of thought and prayer and talking to the pastor at length, I was led to pursue a different course. I left thankful for the experience and with a new curiosity about the Holy Spirit. More than ever, I wondered, what does the Holy Spirit really do? Jesus came to die on a cross and atone for our sins, to give himself as a sacrifice for us, to take the punishment for our sin upon himself, and then impute to us, to credit to us, his perfect righteousness, so we are justified, declared righteous. That's what Jesus does. And that's what's central to our faith. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Why should the Holy Spirit even matter to you or me? Frankly, sometimes the idea of the Holy Spirit intimidates us. We don't understand the Holy Spirit. We associate the Holy Spirit with practices some of us might be very uncomfortable with, like speaking in tongues, practices that harken back to the day of Pentecost. So let's take a look at what actually happened on the day of Pentecost. By the way, before the time of Christ, the day of Pentecost was already a holiday on the Jewish calendar. It occurred 50 days after the big Passover celebration, hence the name Pentecost, meaning 50. That was the day the Jews celebrated God delivering the law to Moses. So on the day of Pentecost that we just read about in Acts, there were devout expatriate Jews from all over the Mediterranean basin, all different countries, who had made the pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to observe the day of Pentecost in the holy city. And all also gathered in Jerusalem that particular day of Pentecost was the core group of the disciples of Jesus, still revved up 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And that Pentecost morning, they had gathered in a large meeting room in the temple. And as they were gathered, suddenly the roaring sound of a powerful wind filled the room, and the sound of it could be heard in the rooms and public areas all around. So hearing the sound, the other people who had gathered at the temple for the observance of the Pentecost streamed into the room where the disciples had gathered, everyone wondering what was going on. And what they saw stunned them. Above the heads of each of the disciples of Jesus was what appeared to be a flame, a tongue of fire. Those who stood there, dumbfounded at the sight, didn't realize it, but they were witnessing the very literal fulfillment of a prophecy. In Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16, John the Baptist is quoted saying, "One who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Well, there it was. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and marked with fire. But what happened next was even more amazing. As these Jewish people from all around the Mediterranean rushed into the room where the disciples of Jesus gathered, they heard these disciples speaking to them in their own languages. Those from the Greek territories heard some of the disciples speaking Greek. Those from Rome heard Latin. Those from Egypt, Egyptian. Those from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Arabia and Crete, wherever these Jews lived, they heard the languages of their adopted nations. It was very strange, and those present were stunned. These disciples were simple, uneducated Galileans. How is it that they speak to us in our own languages, they wondered. Again, prophecy was being fulfilled. Peter stood up and addressed those who had rushed into the room. And he quoted the second chapter of the book of Joel, who prophesied almost 900 years earlier that at the time of the Messiah, the Lord would pour out his Spirit. Now it was happening. The question is, once the Holy Spirit is poured out, what does the Holy Spirit do? You know, there's a great summary from the lips of Jesus on the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's found in John chapter 16. The work of the Holy Spirit in our time started when Jesus announced that he was sending to us a paraclete. That's a Greek word. Sometimes paraclete is translated helper. Jesus will send a helper. Sometimes it's translated counselor or advocate. The Holy Spirit functions in a number of ways, but always through God's word. For example, he conveys the gift of faith to us through God's word. In John 16, the Holy Spirit is described as convicting us or showing us the truth. John 16:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict us concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, what does that mean? It means that he convicts us in the sense that we're made keenly aware of the reality of our own sinfulness, our own self-righteousness, our own self-serving judgmental attitude toward others. We become more aware of our own sin. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the work of Christ to forgive you and then actually credit to you or impute to you the perfect righteousness of Jesus, despite your sin and failure. Here's an example of how that works from one of my favorite parables from Jesus. A respected and apparently righteous Pharisee, along with a hated, despicable and sinful tax collector, went to the temple to pray. The honorable Pharisee prayed like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, thieves, adulterers, or this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. End of prayer. But when it was the sinful tax collector's turn to pray, he simply beat his chest in a sign of contrition and cried out, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. How is it that the tax collector actually understood and would acknowledge that ugly truth about himself? The Holy Spirit convicted him. Tax collectors were so universally despised in ancient Israel that Jesus' punchline at the end of this story was scandalously shocking. Truly, I say to you, Jesus said, it was the hated and sinful tax collector who went home forgiven and accepted by God, not a Pharisee. The Holy Spirit was at work in the tax collector. The Holy Spirit calls us to see ourselves as we really are. He convicts us of our sinfulness, but he does not condemn those who trust in God's mercy. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We just read that from John 3:17. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our desperate need for God's mercy and forgiveness. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that it's the shed blood of Jesus that guarantees that we are bathed in God's mercy and forgiveness. The end result for you and me is relief. The end result is peace. The end result is gratitude. Gratitude toward God and humility before others. And the end result is joy. Pure joy when the Holy Spirit convicts us and you understand what Christ has done for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, as we observe the day that the Holy Spirit was sent in a new way among the disciples of Jesus, Lord, help us to appreciate what you have done for us through the Holy Spirit. That we, when we see ourselves as we really are, and come to a great appreciation for what you have done for us, that is the work of the Holy Spirit working in us through your word. Cause us to be grateful for what you have done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name.